After a busy weekend of fantasy baseball drafting, we are talking biggest spring training winners and losers, plus closer battles, position battles, guys being sent to the minors, and much more. Welcome to the show on Monday, March 30th. I'm Adam Azer. Al Melchior, good morning.
Good morning, Adam Azer.
Scott White, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
How was your weekend?
It was fine. Just visiting with some family in Jacksonville. A new baby, newer than my own.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Well, that's, yeah. That, you know, I feel like you should have a little bit more time to be the only one with a newborn.
Yeah, they kind of stole the thunder. I mean, particularly when, you know, we found out about their pregnancy immediately after announcing ours. That's when the thunder was stolen, I feel like, even more than now. I mean, now that the babies are here, everybody's just so busy.
Right.
There's no time to think about who gets credit for what, but...
Well, look, I don't want to stir up anything in your family, but I don't like them very much, so just, we'll keep that between us. Al, how was your slow draft this weekend?
Very slow. Just picked up... there were actually two slow drafts. Made my last pick in our mixed score sheet league, and drafted James Russell in my NL, which has worked out just spectacularly well now that he's been cut by the Braves.
So we've thrown around two – yeah, good job. We've thrown around two terms that might be unfamiliar to some fantasy baseball owners. One is a slow draft. Two is score sheet. So let's start with slow draft, which really – they're not the worst thing. If you have a lot of leagues, it's not such a bad idea to have a few or, you know, one, two slow drafts, just untimed drafts. Or right now I'm in one that has 3 hours on the clock from 9 to 5 and then untimed after that. You know, it gives you more time to think about your pick, I guess, but also it just allows people to draft together if that's an issue, if you can't figure out a good time. So I don't recommend it, but it's not the worst thing. Now, you guys, you love score sheet and sim leagues. Those are some of your favorite leagues. So go ahead and tell us about it for, I think, the first time in this spring season.
Well, score sheet, I mean, there are some leagues where you're playing off of last year's stats or some previous season stats, but score sheet's a cool hybrid where you play a schedule of games 1 week at a time, usually six, sometimes seven games in a week, based on the prior week's stats. So you're using current year stats, but just 1 week chunk at a time. So you set a lineup ahead of time. You don't know how it's going to work out with those players. There's no, you know, retrospective lineup setting. And they play the real week's worth of games, and then they sim them, and you get your game-by-game results.
Mm-hmm. But and it's not an actual game. It's
right.
Like a pitcher and batter. A pitcher throws one team throws to the batter on your team, and based on how each of them performed in the last week, something happens. And it's amazing how accurate the stats, how close the stats are during that week period to what happened in real life for having the adjustment of facing different pitchers in the game versus the pitchers they were facing in real life.
And I did a new format this weekend. I did a daily league lineup. This was the league I mentioned that has daily league for hitting, but not for pitching. We don't want people going on streaming pitchers every day. And the lineups are, it's a 16-team league. The benches are so small that I don't know how much hitting streaming we're going to be doing, but I will say this, one tip if you're in a daily league, guys with multiple position eligibility are very useful in this format, if you think about it, because let's say you have Anthony Rendon, who's eligible at second and third base, and you've got, I don't know, Rougned Odor on your bench, and let's say your third baseman is Pablo Sandoval. Well, if Sandoval's got a day off, now you can slide Rendon into third base and put Odor in your lineup. So I found that to be kind of useful. If you could find a few guys who have position multi-position eligibility, could help you in a daily league. Email address, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Put baseball podcast in the subject line, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Biggest spring training winners and losers. Then we'll go through the closer news as the Red Sox, the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the White Sox. We have updates on those bullpens. A lot of injuries, a lot of position battles being won and lost. But you guys can kick it off with some spring training winners. Go for it.
All right. Well, I'll start with a trio of second basemen who have all appeared to have won jobs or come close to it in the past week or so. Devon Travis for the Blue Jays, Micah Johnson for the White Sox, and Jace Peterson for the Braves. So none were expected to be starters going into spring training, and all have some certainly some deeper league value. I actually think of the three, I think Johnson in Roto Leagues, I think has some late round appeal in a standard mixed league. I think Travis, not I wouldn't say standard mixed, but Travis in points leagues, maybe like a 14 team mixed points league could be viable there.
Johnson stole 80 plus bases in the minors 2 years ago. So I would say as a middle infielder with that kind of speed, he's must draft in Roto at this point. And Travis is on the fringes. Travis got picked up, I think, in all the leagues where I had waivers run for the first time last night. I had like five leagues that was set up like that, and Travis was added in all of them. Some of them had big roster sizes. But yeah, he's an interesting high contact. Yeah, I've called him a souped up Scooter Jeanette in the past. Maybe like Martin Prado with a little more speed is a better way of describing him. I haven't quite figured it out exactly yet, but he's an interesting player, largely because of the peripherals he's going to deliver.
And that is Devon Travis. All right, Jace Peterson is more NL only.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, some speed there too, though.
So yeah, that's Braves second baseman. So how about you, Scott? You got some winners?
I do. I feel like CJ Krohn is one of my biggest from spring training. I mean, it seemed like with all the Josh Hamilton stuff, he was going to have a job, but he's been so productive this spring, hitting like 400 with good power, that that I feel like he was one of the players I added in a Roto League as a corner infield option.
Yeah,
he could hit 30 home runs over a full season. It would not be the most surprising thing ever.
Cool.
Michael Taylor for the Nationals just hit his fourth home run yesterday, and I feel like with Span coming back from a core muscle surgery, I think there's a chance Taylor could solidify at least, I don't know, maybe starting 3 or 4 days a week. If he gets off to a good start during the season, he could keep that up until maybe a trade or another injury clears up the spot for him again. I feel like Taylor's to a point now where he's must-own in rotisserie leagues. And a couple of, well, let's just go with one pitcher here, kind of for deeper leagues. Zach McAllister has caught my attention, had a very productive spring in his last start, 9 strikeouts in 5 innings, and there were reports that his fastball was reaching 97 miles per hour in that game, which is a good 4 or 5 miles per hour faster than he used to throw as a starter, and that is like a jaw-dropping difference. That, I mean, McAllister was just, you know, some run-of-the-mill fringe rotation spot for major league teams, a guy you may not even draft in AL-only leagues. But if he's throwing that hard this spring, that kind of changes things for me. I'm not saying he's standard mixed league material just based on that, but in deeper leagues, certainly in all my AL-only leagues, I put in a bid for him this weekend and did not win him, so it seems like other people are on to him too. But yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. That's really interesting.
Would you rather have McAllister or TJ House?
I would rather have House.
You know, I'll have to think about that a little more, because it's really this morning where last night when I first put McAllister on my radar. House has been knocked around his last few spring starts, which may be meaningless, but considering he was just a, you know, kind of a fringe sleeper anyway, you want to see him perform all the way up until the bell rings, and McAllister's been better and seems to have much better stuff. So I think I'm leaning McAllister, if I'm being honest.
Guys, would you rather have McAllister or Vance Worley?
I guess in terms of playing time, they're sort of in similar situations, because I think if McAllister does struggle and Salazar gets it together in AAA, he could be out rather quickly. You know, same thing with Worley, depending on what the stats of Charlie Martin Morton is. I don't know who Charlie Martin is. So I guess all things being equal, I like the Vanimal a little bit more.
Feel like gambling on McAllister at this point. I really do. If you're talking about, you know, last roster spot, a guy you're halfway expecting to drop anyway, I think it's worth it.
CJ Cron or Mike Napoli?
I'll go Napoli there. I actually think he's got some breakout, but or not breakout, but sleeper potential. And we haven't talked about much. I haven't talked about him at all because even if he has a very good season, it's not going to make a huge dent in the first base rankings because there's just so much production at that position.
Right.
But yeah. I actually expect that Napoli will have a much better season than Cron will.
Yeah, I'll go Napoli also.
Let's look at closers, guys. Looks like Koji Uehara is going to start the season on the DL, so Edward Mujica will be the Red Sox closer to start the year. Brad Boxberger is expected to close for the Rays while Jake McGee is out, and I don't know if there was anything recent, but it seemed like McGee was late April around then. Toronto, according to John Heyman, not discussing Jonathan Papelbon with the Phillies. And David Robertson appears to be okay. He returned, pitched over the weekend. He had the forearm tightness, but appears to be just fine. So we got Mujica for the Red Sox for a little while. Brad Boxberger for the Rays maybe for a little while longer than Mujica. Looks like Cecil has more job security right now, and David Robertson appears to be okay. Anything that really stands out to you guys?
For me, it's Boxberger because I actually think I think he could be an elite closer, and if he really gets off to a great start, I could see McGee going back to a setup role.
Yeah, I think of all the Rays options, Boxberger was the one with the best chance of doing that, reducing McGee to setup status. 104 strikeouts in 64 and two-thirds innings last year, 4.7 hits per nine. That's those are rates that are up there with the elite closers like Holland and Kimbrel. So I agree with that. I think he's must draft now.
So Boxberger or Clippard, who do you think has a better chance of maintaining?
Boxberger.
Definitely Boxberger.
That's interesting. I see them as very similar. Clippard has a great track record as a reliever. I don't see why he can't be a good closer. And I think the injury to Doolittle, the tiebreaker for me, the injury to Doolittle seems more serious than the one to McGee.
Maybe, but I think if you're just paying, it sounds like they're both at least hopefully going to return at about the same point a month in. And Doolittle was already established as the Athletics closer. They're talking like they still want him as the closer. Nobody's, even last year when he was saving games for the Rays, nobody's really declared McGee their closer at any point. So I just don't know that they're as committed to going back to them as the A's are to Doolittle.
Okay. How about some spring training losers, guys?
Tony Cingrani got to be right at the top of the list there. Because
he is having a good spring, so I'll ask, do you think Cingrani is worth stashing?
In a deeper league, because they didn't rule out moving him back to the rotation at some point. They said it was partially to preserve his arm. So, you know, in a deeper league.
Okay, sorry, I'll cut you off. More losers?
Let's see. It's got sound like you have somebody on
yeah, chat. Yeah.
Is that somebody in mind who I admit I have forgotten?
Well, I'm going to go Jung Ho Gong here, who homered in his first at bat, I think it was, for the Pirates, and his draft value shot up because, shortstop with power. But then he had like one hit in the next 2 weeks or something. He finally did homer again yesterday, so it's not like he's a lost cause, but it's clear he's just a bench option to begin the year.
I got some more if you guys would
okay.
like.
Sure.
Dellin Betances, I'm not sure if he's a loser, but I'd be a little uneasy if I drafted him.
I think his stock has certainly sunk in the past week or so.
Yeah,
yeah, by that measure, he is.
If he gets it together and they give him the closer's role, it could still be great, but he's not having a good spring. And Shane Victorino, like a month ago, I was all about drafting Shane Victorino really late. I thought there's a chance he'd lead off for the Red Sox, fly under the radar, actually be pretty good while he was healthy. Now it seems like Mookie Betts is definitely going to lead off, and Victorino's having a terrible spring, which is not completely unusual. I know I pointed this out. 2013, Victorino had a bad spring, ended up having a really good year for the Red Sox. But Castillo got off to a hot start. He's cooled off a bit. I have Victorino in one of our Roto leagues, and I'm not going to drop him. But I wouldn't be surprised if I'm dropping him in 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, that was one of the names I was going to mention. Oh, here's another one. I don't know if you have him on your list. Kendall. No, he's been very good. Kendall Graveman. Kevin Gausman is a spring loser. And I don't know who's to blame, really. If Ubaldo Jimenez turning it on here recently has convinced the Orioles he deserves another chance in the rotation with all the money he's making. But it seems like Gausman's going to begin the year with the bullpen now, which stinks because he was a very popular sleeper. I think it would be just a short-term thing. I wouldn't be looking to drop him probably in any league if I had already drafted. But it seems like he's not going to be a usable guy in mixed leagues to begin the year.
And the name I was searching for before, Yasmani Tomas, a big-time spring training loser, went in. High-profile Cuban signing and heading out most likely to the minor leagues. And when it's gotten to the point where the Diamondbacks have gone through a couple of different iterations of how to get him out of the lineup, it's just not a good sign. And this latest one with Nick Ahmed being the shortstop, maybe Aaron Hill at third, but there have been some trade rumors with Hill, so that maybe gives Jake Lamb a chance. But I'd say either of those two young players, Lamb or Ahmed, at this point, look like a safer bet for opening day than Tomas does.
How about Danny Salazar?
Yeah,
is a spring loser.
Can I go back to? Can I just go back to Tomas real quick here?
Sure.
Do you guys
sure.
still think he's worth drafting in a 12-team league? Let's say it's a 12-team roto league. Yasmani Tomas.
In a roto league, I would say yes for the power potential and the bigger roster sizes. In a head-to-head points league. Our standard one with only 21-man rosters, there's no way.
Okay. Sorry, Danny Salazar sent down.
Yeah, he was kicked out of that Indians rotation battle pretty early on, which, was just a few days ago. But, he was one of the first eliminated from that competition. And obviously the upside is great, but he just can't get under control. And I don't doubt the Indians coaching staff. What they've done with Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco the last 2 years, and maybe what they're shaping up to do with Zach McAllister here. I don't doubt they can salvage Salazar still, but he has some hurdles to clear, both in terms of his own performance and now players in front of him.
In a deeper league, would you rather take a chance on Cingrani or Salazar?
Cingrani.
Yeah, I guess Cingrani, just because the Reds don't have much of anything at the back of their rotation.
But Gausman is not really in that boat, right? He's even if he doesn't make the rotation, Gausman is ahead of those guys. Much better prospect, much better future outlook.
Yeah, and I think between Norris and Jimenez and Miguel Gonzalez hasn't been super durable. I think he'll find his way in pretty soon.
Sure, sure. All right, we got a lot more of that kind of stuff to talk about. I'll give you a little preview here. Tommy Malone beat out Trevor May. Roannis Elias was optioned, so Taijuan Walker is the number 5 starter. Could be on an innings limit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We've got Cardinals rotation update. Andrew Heaney is a guy that... is he worth stashing at this point? He's having a terrible spring. And it looks like Hector Santiago's going to be in the Angels rotation. They're going to go 4-man for a bit. And hopefully Richards will be back like third week of April. But what do you guys think about Heaney, who's, just looks awful?
I honestly, in a standard league, wouldn't give thought to stashing Heaney. He has looked awful. He was not particularly good up with the Marlins last year. He's fallen in the prospect rankings. So he does not have a lot of momentum going for him. So I think both in terms of recent performance and in terms of perception of his value right now, I don't think there's a lot lost by letting him go and using a bench spot for somebody else.
All right, let's shake it up. Have a little more fun here. Email of the day number 1 is from Kyle in San Diego. I know that spring stats are pretty meaningless, but how worried should we be about Jeff Samardzija's terrible spring statistics? Samardzija is 1-2 with a 7.79 ERA, 2 walks, 15 strikeouts. That's the only thing Scott now care about. In 17, in 17 and a third.
You pretty much handled this one already then.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, the walks were so critical to Samardzija taking that big leap last year. So 2 and 17 and a third innings. If it was 8 and 17 and a third, I probably still wouldn't be concerned, but the fact that it's 2 is actually very encouraging to me.
And I know you're not asking about this guy, but it is sort of the counterexample. Anthony Descalfani, who in terms of ERA is having a great spring, is walking a lot of guys. And if there's anything he's been good at over his minor league career, it's been not walking guys. So that's a weird one. So I wouldn't worry about Samardzija, and I wouldn't get too stoked up about Desclafani.
So I just wanted to say one thing about Samardzija, really ask one thing about Samardzija. Gives up a lot of home runs last three seasons, 20, 25, 20 homers. And last three seasons, ERA, 381, 434, 299. I guess in my mind, I think he's a little overrated. Do you guys think he is the legit breakout guy we saw last year, Jeff Samardzija?
I absolutely do.
Yep, mainly because of the walks.
Okay.
You can afford to give up some home runs when you're not putting guys on base.
Sure, sure. Email of the day number two is from Luke. Gentlemen, this is my first year playing fantasy baseball. I'm in three 10-team head-to-head points leagues. Oh, all right, Luke, diving in there. Three leagues. When it comes to starting pitching, I'm not sure how to value pitchers that are going to have two starts in a week versus higher-ranked pitchers only making one start. For example, I have Chris Tillman, who should make two starts in week one, versus Jacob deGrom, who is a lot higher but is only making one start. Where do you draw the line? Well, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, sort of in general, it's hard to give a hard and fast rule, but I would certainly draw the line below deGrom. He's going to be a must-start guy for me until he proves that he's not. I would say probably top 25, maybe top 30 are guys I'm going to start just about every week, unless there's somebody with a start at Coors or, you know, something very odd like that. And that would still be, I think, a borderline top 25, top 30 guy for me to sit in that situation.
Like, I'd start a two-star Tillman over a one-star
Pineda?
Yeah, one-star Pineda or Andrew Kashner, maybe even go that high with it. But you have to consider how good the two-star pitcher is himself. Tillman is a guy who's owned basically across the board, so on the lower end of that group of pitchers. But it's not like you're picking up who's a good example of a bad pitcher?
Well, let's say it's like Willie Peralta. Is that?
No, that's I'd be okay with the two-star Willie Peralta.
Well,
I was thinking
Zach
more like
McAllister.
That name came across my head, but I don't think today's podcast he makes a good example.
No, but you don't know with McAllister, so I don't think you would start a two-start McAllister over a one-start Kashner yet.
Not yet.
Right.
You're right. Not yet.
Who are you going to say?
I was going to say like Hector Nwesi. I was for the very bottom of the barrel. Because he's a first-time player, you know?
Obviously, yeah, I know, right.
You're not just picking up two-star pitchers because they're making two starts. If it's not a guy you would ever consider starting in a one-star week, it's very unlikely you're going to start him in a two-star week.
Yeah, matchups matter as well.
You're going to be sorry when you do that.
Yeah.
Email of the day number three is from Abe in New York. All this talk about the pronunciation of BABIP has me on Fangraphs sorting BABIP or BABIP. So what's up with this? Everybody loves Cueto, and I get that. He's awesome. But check out his BABIP last year. 238, lowest among all qualifying pitchers. Notwithstanding a great defense behind him, that number is crazy low. Shouldn't this be a major red flag for Johnny Cueto, who's being drafted as an elite starting pitcher?
Well, if you're drafting him second after Kershaw, because I doubt anybody is drafting him ahead of Kershaw, then yes. But I don't think that's what his ADP says.
No,
and
no,
I think
it doesn't.
If you build in some regression there, he's still a number one starter in a 10 or a 12 team league. And that infield defense, it does make a difference. I mean, probably not as much as it made last season, but,
yeah, Cozart and Phillips up the middle. That's about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I'll add that Cueto had a 225 ERA last year, which I don't think anyone would say is the expectation for him going forward, but where he really took a step forward was durability. He pitched 243 innings, and strikeout rate, he had 242 Ks. So his ERA rises a run, which is unlikely. That's probably overcompensating. But say it rises a run. He does what he did last year in terms of innings and strikeouts. He's still a must-start, top-of-the-rotation guy in fantasy.
I don't even think he has to be, you know, his ERA is probably be around 285. His ERA has been 282 or lower 4 years in a row, Cueto.
Right.
Yeah, and he's a guy that year in, year out, it seems like, and for a long time, I was not a believer in Johnny Cueto. And but you look at those last 4 years, and every single year he's had a strand rate of 78 or higher when the average is typically around 73. That's usually a sign that somebody is really overachieving. But he does this every year. And as far as BABIP, Adam, is concerned, out of those last four seasons, three times he's had a BABIP under 260 when the norm is around 300. So he's a guy who, you know, beats the regression, the call for regression, pretty much on a yearly basis.
He is an excellent pitcher. Let's just hope he stays healthy. Speaking of which, we got injuries, news, and notes. Carlos Gonzalez had pain in his surgically repaired knee. That was, I think that came out on Friday. He says he's fine now. What do you guys think about Carlos Gonzalez? Would you rather have Cargo or JD Martinez?
I think I'm going Cargo there, but reluctantly. I like Martinez more than the average person.
Yeah, this is what scares me about Cargo. So I'll say reluctantly because I feel like it's something that could definitely bite me in the behind if Cargo somehow stays healthy, but I actually feel better about having Martinez.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Carlos Gonzalez or Melky Cabrera?
Cargo. But, you know, I'm having a hard time removing ADP from the equation because I know I can get Melky or Martinez three or four rounds later.
Oh, it's interesting you say that because I'm looking at ADP and Cabrera is actually two spots ahead of Carlos Gonzalez in points. Probably different in Roto.
Probably different, yeah.
But I think Cargo might have different value in our drafts than he does in standard drafts. He falls a lot. I'll look it up. Yeah, I think you're probably right in Roto. Carlos Gonzalez going 67th overall in Roto, and Melky Cabrera much later. 114th overall. That seems pretty low.
Yeah, in Roto. And I understand. I think that difference is a little extreme, but I understand why Melky's in higher demand in points leagues. He doesn't strike out much, and he hits a lot of doubles.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Justin Verlander left Friday's start with a triceps cramp, and I guess he says he's fine too, but I don't know. Scott, you had him as a sleeper originally, and then you said he's going a lot earlier than I want, and you still feel that way about Verlander?
Yeah, especially with this. I mean, if there's questions about his health going into the year, and he hasn't been throwing Zach McAllister speed this spring, let's just say. So, yeah, no, I'm particularly, you look at where he's going in head-to-head points leagues, I'm a little more worried about him being a bust again.
Christian Vasquez, Boston catcher, might need Tommy John. So I don't know. Do you know how to pronounce Blake Swihart?
You know, but you do.
Oh, cool. He could be in the mix. They just made a trade for Sandy Leon. What's going on with Boston catcher right now?
Well, right now, to me, it looks like Leon is insurance, and Swihart is maybe at worst going to get 50% of the plate appearances.
I wonder if they're going to try to do what the Cubs are doing with Bryant, or what the Cubs are presumed to be doing with Bryant, which is send it to the minors for the first couple weeks so that they buy an extra year of team control and make do with Ryan Hannigan and Leon in the meantime. But it does seem like Swihart, who is probably the top catcher prospect in baseball, is going to get significant playing time eventually this season.
So is he worth owning in a two-catcher league, 12 teams?
I think he is.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you consider, you know, what you're passing up on.
Yeah, that's probably like the Tyler Flowers range in a mixed league. Okay. I would take him over that, yeah.
I'm just going to read a bunch of things. You tell me what stands out. Ryan Zimmerman hurt his back and his shoulder Friday. Didi Gregorius sprained his left wrist. He expects to be fine for opening day. The Astros sent third baseman Matt Dominguez to the minors. Garrett Richards probably won't be ready by April 14th when the Angels need a fifth starter, according to the LA Times. J.J. Hardy has an injured shoulder. It's a lot better than it was a few days ago. Hardy will have an MRI today. Billy Burns, he could make the opening day roster if Coco Crisp goes on the DL to start the year. Do you guys just find yourself drafting Billy Burns at any point?
I haven't. I could certainly see him as an inexpensive option in AL only, but it sounds like if he makes the roster, it would be as a bench player. And that's not necessarily horrible for his value, because if the A's use him as a pinch runner, he's going to give you what you get him for, which is steals. But Zobrist, it sounds like, will fill an outfield spot, right field, to start the year. So
Billy Burns is another one of those players whose name is a complete sentence, but he might be the only one of those players whose name is a complete sentence that describes what he does on the baseball field.
Yeah, it's pretty,
Billy
it's pretty
Burns.
Clutch.
Other than Drew Stubbs.
He started out as a power hitter, actually, but a coach got a hold of him and said, you know, Billy,
your name,
you could really burn.
Your name's not Billy Slugs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you guys think Marcus Semien is going to have eventually eligibility at second, third, and short?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
It is huge.
Go ahead.
But I just want to get back to Hardy, and since we are talking about steals, that's potentially good news for Everett Cabrera.
Yes. So,
steals.
Good call. Rougned Odor, day-to-day with a bruised shin. Odor is having a great spring. 382, 417, 588. It's time to look at position battles. Tommy Malone over Trevor May for the fifth starter spot for Minnesota, which will have Hughes, Nolasco, Irvin Santana, Kyle Gibson, and Tommy Malone in the rotation. Any interest in Malone?
AL only.
Danny Santana is Minnesota's starting shortstop. How do you guys feel now about his job security?
I feel pretty good he's going to play one place or another. It helps that neither Aaron Hicks nor Eddie Rosario could hammer down the center field job this spring. They both got sent back to the minors, so I don't even know who's supposed to be playing center field for the Twins to start out. Is it like
maybe
Jordan Schaefer?
Maybe Schaefer, maybe Escobar.
Escobar himself?
Eduardo.
Who just got beat out of shortstop, right?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so I don't know. but those seem to be the two most likely candidates. And the thing is, there are enough moving pieces there. I was actually surprised to see Rosario get sent down. But there's enough moving pieces there in the major and the minor league depth chart that if Santana struggles, look, I'm not expecting it. But if he comes out of the gate slow, has a bad April, I might be a little worried for him.
Cleveland going with TJ House and Zach McAllister. Jaime Garcia's shoulder's acting up, so Carlos Martinez and Marco Gonzalez are in competition for the fifth starter spot for St. Louis. Taijuan Walker for Seattle, he's the number five starter. In the News Tribune, Bob Dutton speculating that James Paxton and Taijuan Walker may be limited to about 180 innings this season. Just throwing that out there. We've got Odubel Herrera.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Philadelphia Phillies opening day center fielder with Ben Revere in left field. What can you tell us about Odubel Herrera?
Well, again, speaking of speed, he has six stolen bases this spring. And this might be just a temporary measure with Dominic Brown expected to go on the DL, where both Herrera and Revere are in the outfield, but they don't. The Phillies don't seem too thrilled with Revere's defense in center for as fast as he is. And Herrera, they might like him just for defensive purposes. And considering in right field is Grady Sizemore to start out, I feel like they could make room for Brown without kicking Herrera out of the lineup. So in an NL-only league, it was another one of those leagues where waivers started last night. I put in a $27 bid for Herrera and won him with that because I feel like, you know, everyday player, he could give you 25, 30 steals. Even if he ends up like a 400 at bat player, I think he could do that.
He's also eligible right now only at second base.
Yeah.
So in a week, it'll be second base and outfield, but valuable, obviously, for a middle infield spot. And Nick Martinez is the Texas number five starting pitcher.
Excuse and we talked while, about him just
yeah.
before we started taping, and you made a very unhappy noise.
Yeah. Should I not be gagging?
I looked him up in our AL only industry league, and he was already taken. But I kind of do like him in that depth of format. again, you don't want to get too crazed about spring stats, but earlier in his minor league career, Martinez did look like somebody who could be a good control pitcher and actually was a good ground ball pitcher, and he was an extreme fly ball pitcher last year with very poor control. But he had some moments. He had starts where he looked like a much better pitcher. And so the spring stats are highly encouraging. He might surprise.
Okay. Time for a game called What's the Deal With? What's the deal with Willian Rosario right now? What do you guys think about his situation, Willian Rosario?
I know he's going to play some. I'm worried it's not going to be enough because he doesn't have a starting job anywhere. He'll catch some, they've said, but it seems like they'd rather him get the majority of his time at first base where Justin Morneau is playing. So maybe as a second catcher in a roto league, he'll give you enough power that it won't matter. But I'm worried about him living up to his draft status.
What if Morneau gets hurt? You think he's like an everyday first baseman all of a sudden?
I think there's a very good chance of that. I don't think there's other great options there.
Would you rather have Willian Rosario or Miguel Montero?
I'd rather have Montero for the playing time.
Yep.
Would you rather have Miguel or Willian Rosario or spring stud Mike Zunino?
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. Zunino has been awesome this spring, and it does seem like there's a lot more offensive potential than he's shown in the majors so far, but he's still striking out all the time. So I'm not sure how much of that is just spring noise, Cactus League type stuff, and how much is him possibly breaking through.
Okay, Raisel Iglesias. What's the deal with Raisel Iglesias of the Cincinnati Reds? This podcast host says that if he pitches well, because he's going to start in the rotation before Homer Bailey comes back.
Is he?
I think so.
I thought so too, but I saw something over the weekend. I think it was Brian Price, their manager, talking. That, you know, they're still determining whether he can be in their rotation or whether he should start in the bullpen or whether he should start in the minors. Which I thought it was a done deal when they removed Cingrani from the rotation.
What I was going to say, what this podcast host was going to say was, I could easily see if he does well, goodbye Jason Marquis.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's an opportunity for Iglesias, but what do you guys think about him?
Well, I share that sentiment. It's not a hard one to get on board with, but yes, I did not see the same report, so I kind of thought Iglesias was a lock for the rotation.
Well, Scott, just digging through the archives.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it and make sure I'm not.
Yeah, please reassure us that
causing panic for no reason.
Well, is Raisel Iglesias a good stash either way?
In a points league, I would say yes.
Why not Roto?
Not in a standard league because there's just too many other options. I mean, until he, you know, if maybe he does start the year in the rotation and he's really great. You know, I think you want to have him on your scout team for sure. But in a points league, I think he's worth a stash right now because of that reliever eligibility.
What's the deal? Scott looks that article up. What's the deal with Jock Peterson and Andre Ethier? Still not decided in center field?
They got to be trying to motivate Peterson, right?
It worked. He homered over the weekend.
Yeah.
Do you draft Jock Peterson with any fear that he's not going to be the starting center fielder?
Don Mattingly has been noncommittal about this, but at this point, 6 home runs this spring, I think it is, after another one yesterday, and batting close to 400. Like, what more does he have to do? The alternative is Andre Ethier, who they don't really like defensively in center field. So
it doesn't make sense.
No, I think I'm just going to assume Peterson's the starter and fall out of my chair when he's not.
You'll be happy to know that one of my teams, the one that I drafted over the weekend, is Jock Peterson, and I have Cameron from Ferris Bueller screaming into the phone as my avatar.
That's great.
You made it happen.
I did. Also, because this is a 16-team league, right? The draft took about 4 hours, and I know 2 people in the league. I am like the newcomer in this long-standing, tradition-filled league. And the commissioner is one of the guys that I know, and he asked me to write a recap for the league.
Oh.
So I did.
Why?
I don't know. And I don't know why I agreed to do it. But I did. I guess I was trying to make friends. And I absolutely filleted two of the teams. But other than that, I was really nice. I wrote a recap. It took me about two
good way
and a
to
half
make friends.
Yeah, filet. Right. I might have made like 12 friends and two enemies, but. So anyway, I wrote a 2.5 hour recap. It was like 1,500 words or something crazy. I don't know. It was insane. And I got like two responses.
Yeah.
From the guys that you filleted, right?
One of the guys that I wrote a bad review for wrote something back that I didn't get at all. It was like something about his car. It was like some probably inside joke that I didn't even get. Two people were like, nice recap, Adam. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's a nice reward for your time spent.
Now you know how we feel. And we have audience much greater than 15.
I guess it's better than getting a bunch of comments of like, you idiot.
We'll get those soon enough.
So did you revive the Azers Friends League? Because I saw you put a plea out on Facebook for owners.
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to get more owners. No, see, if I say this out loud, I'm going to get like a million tweets. I'll be in your daily league. I'll be in your daily league. I'm up to 8 owners. It'll be either a 10-team or 12-team daily league. So I don't need any more. We're working on it. Should have it today. But yeah, I am reviving the Azer Friends League. You guys are invited if you'd like to join.
Really?
Oh, we're friends.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, if you want to be in, it's going to be a daily league.
This is a league with a tradition. This is a tradition unlike any other. Azer's Friends League.
A league that existed 2 years ago, but not last year. That's some tradition. That's how many friends I have.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Do you want
in?
The latest? What did you ask?
You want in the league, or are you telling me about Raisel Iglesias?
I was going to tell you about Raisel Iglesias. I was going to gloss over that league thing and... hope it didn't come up again.
Nah, go ahead.
So yeah, MLB.com, this was on Saturday. Brian Price. The report was that he may make the pitching staff as a bullpen arm or be sent to the minors for some extra work, but Brian Price won't say yet. I imagine he might be a little bit of both this year, and where he does it, I just don't know yet. We'd be hard pressed to throw him out there for 30 plus starts at any level and think we're going to be able to control his innings to a level we're comfortable with.
All right.
So doubt has been cast.
Well,
by a shadow, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. What's the deal with Javier Baez having a terrible spring training, batting 173, 3 walks, 20 strikeouts? Javier Baez still worth drafting?
I've cooled off because I remember probably about a month ago we were talking about shortstop strategy and saying, well, it thins out so quickly, and so you might as well take the flyer on Baez and go for the upside instead of the more certain mediocrity, later in the shortstop pool. And I've just tossed that strategy aside. I'm going for the mediocrity because I don't trust Baez at all at this point.
I have moved Baez down a good bit. He's behind Gene Segura now among upside shortstops. And I don't know that he's going to make the opening day roster. I'm kind of doubtful of that. But at the same time, there's still not many players with upside at the position.
Baez or Simmons?
All right. I'll actually go Baez there.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking about my own behavior in drafts and not going for Baez when I have the choice between him and somebody like Segura.
Thinking about your own Baez?
My own. Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. And what's the deal with Micah Johnson? I think you guys talked about it. You expect him to be the opening day second baseman?
Yes. I
do. Okay. So I just want to run through a few names, guys who stood out to me as good or bad. And we'll do this really quickly so we can spend a few minutes on emails. Spring training studs, Kendall Graveman. He's been awesome. He's obviously being drafted in points leagues because he's RP eligible. What about Graveman in a roto league? Is he a must-own at this point?
I wouldn't say must-own, but he's to the point now where I would consider drafting him even there. One earned run in 21 and a third innings this spring and only 10 hits.
2.5 ground balls for every fly ball.
Yeah, it's just so... like, nobody makes hard contact off him. It's amazing.
How about Josh Colemanter? Sorry.
By the way, just in terms of valuing Graveman, I wouldn't really be ready to draft him in roto yet, but I do think of him as a sort of Henderson Alvarez of the AL.
Yeah.
So, okay. And as such, he'd be worth owning, but he hasn't proven it yet.
Josh Colemanter had a great start against Cleveland. Al's always had a thing for Josh Colemanter.
I have.
So, Colemanter or McAllister?
Yikes. I got to look more into this McAllister thing because Colemanter for me is a $1 starter in 12-team mixed roto. So if there's real upside to McAllister, it's hard to see passing that up when you're giving up a $1 pitcher.
Here are some hitters who are doing well. Eric Young Jr. has 6 steals for the Braves. Billy Butler for the A's is having a nice spring. Anderson Simmons himself having a very good spring, 385 with 2 homers. And Curtis Granderson is destroying spring training, 475, 3 home runs, 12 RBI. Anything pressing there?
I have been giving Granderson and Simmons a little more attention. Simmons, I mean, we both just said we'd take Baez over him still, so you're talking about maybe not getting drafted in mixed leagues, but Granderson is going in the round 20-21 range in mixed leagues, and I feel like he deserves more than that just based on history, and then the spring performance combined with the fact that he's working with his old favorite hitting coach, Kevin Long, who was there for his great days with the Yankees. I think he deserves a little better than he's getting in drafts right now.
Steven Sousa and Billy Hamilton have been duds as we look at the duds here. Do you guys care about that? Sousa, bad spring. Hamilton, bad spring.
I don't with either. You know, and especially since we've seen a full major league season from Billy Hamilton. And I think there's upside beyond what he gave you last year. Sousa, you know, it's a little bit more concerning just because late bloomer. You know, there's some questions about how his AAA numbers would translate, but I wouldn't change my opinion of him much at all, just, you know, based on these spring stats.
And finally, Santiago Casillas having a bad spring, 16 hits and 8 runs in 10 innings, although better in his last 4 appearances. Casillas also had an ERA over 6 last year in spring training, had a good season after that. And Jonathan Gray for the Rockies was just brutal over the weekend, couldn't even get out of the first inning.
Yeah, that's bad for Gray because when they released Ulysses Chacin, it looked like Gray was suddenly a top candidate for the opening there. Not going to win it that way.
No play for Mr. Gray.
Do you guys feel like Tony Romo is Sergio
no.
Romo's a good guy to have?
I'd handcuff him in like an NL-only league to Casilla. Yeah. I don't make anything of this performance. The spring for Casilla, really relief pitchers in general, established relief pitchers, unless there's something going on with them physically. I don't care what they do in spring training.
All right, then. So we'll read a few emails here and close up shop for Monday. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Mark from Massachusetts. Dear Kenny, Steve, and Ashley. I feel like Scott saw this show.
Kenny, Steve, and Ashley.
This apparently is Eastbound and Down.
Ah.
No, I've never seen it.
Kenny Powers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my draft yesterday in a 14-team head-to-head points league, keepers league, with minor leaguers that bring our roster to 40 players. The scoring is very pitching-heavy, so serviceable pitchers are hard to find. Do you have any suggestions for injured pitchers I can stash on my DL until they return?
Mike Minor, there'd be one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yvonne Nova might not be
I can
that
actually
obvious.
Pull up a list here if you want to move on to the next question.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
Here's Jameson. Says, Dear Apache. This is really funny to me. Dear Apache, Kimasabi, and Tonto. That would be people the Sugar Hill Gang advised to jump on it.
Yeah. That's what he put in parentheses.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. I think I would have gotten it, but that's just really funny to me.
Yeah.
Had our 5x5 category mixed league draft this weekend. Is this Mike Zunino buzz train accurate, or should I snag Yasmani Grandal or Willian Rosario as soon as waivers open up?
Over those two, I'd rather have Zunino.
Okay. Evan in Iowa. Dear Rob, Dick, and Barry. This I don't know.
They're not Gibbs.
Let's look. Every time there's a Barry, we immediately think Gibbs. Now, this is from the movie High Fidelity. That is an extremely random reference, Evan, and I deduct points from you for that. It has to be at least more mainstream than High Fidelity. Actually, that's not true. I give you points back. It's up to us to be cool enough to know it.
And I've seen the movie, so, and didn't make the connection.
Oh, well, then I deduct points from Al. So, Evan went pitcher heavy. 10-team categories league, weekly locking rosters, 5 outfielder league, corner infield, middle infield. But he took Felix, Scherzer, Harvey, Jordan Zimmerman, and Chapman with his first five picks. And here's his lineup. Betts, Calhoun, Yelich, and J.D. Martinez, and Jock Peterson, and Kadir. So good outfield, but no stud, maybe. Betts, Calhoun, Yelich, J.D. Martinez, Jock Peterson, and Kadir. Gattis, Belt, Kendrick, Sandoval, Segura, Prado, Napoli. Yuck, Evan. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I don't like it. I would never take five pitchers with my first five picks.
Yeah, and this is why.
You guys agree?
Not enough high-end talent.
Scott, did you find
there's some upside players here where if everything breaks right, I could see it turning out okay, but it's just, yeah, it's no. The list I was talking about for the injured pitchers to start the year, I was going into roster trends, and obviously that's not going to work because these players haven't officially been placed on the DL yet, but I've had more time to think about it. Obviously, 14-team league. The obvious guys like Minor, Drew Smyly, Alex Cobb, etc., they're all going to be owned, obviously, but maybe the guys coming back from Tommy John surgery, Ivan Nova, Matt Moore, Chris Medlin, Patrick Corbin, Josh Johnson.
Jared Parker?
Yeah, and AJ Griffin, for that matter. Yeah. There's a lot of them out there. I think those are really the only ones who might sneak through because, you know, even a guy like Homer Bailey, who has a fairly significant injury that's not Tommy John, he's still getting drafted in standard mixed leagues. I don't know why the Tommy John guys are getting passed over so much. Seems like Jose Fernandez is the only one being drafted at all in a standard league. I mean, well, I guess I understand because they're going to be out for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. You know, I'm not sure I would stash anyone that I thought was going to be out more than a month and a half. Like Minor's early May right now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably as far as I would go, except for Jose Fernandez. I'm not in any leagues that are that deep.
Right.
Like
this
guy.
There's so much depth at starting pitcher. Yeah. Like you normally, even if you think the guy's going to be really good for 3 months, it's like why wait around 3 months
right.
for him unless you just happen to have a unused DL spot.
Okay, fellas, thank you very much. I'll be in Florida tomorrow to talk to you guys in person. I look forward to that. Al, have a wonderful day.
You too. See you tomorrow.
Scott, keep it real.
You too, buddy.
All right, I'm Adam Azer. Bye, everyone.